إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our ninth and final session for this, the reading of Maqasid al-Hajj, the goals and objectives of the pilgrimage, yani those things which a person should be striving to achieve during the performance of pilgrimage, by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. And tonight, inshallah, we're going to look at the final two of the maqasid that the Shaykh mentions, the 14th one being tahqiq al-wasatiyya, yani the establishment or the achievement of moderation, yani moderation in this deen, in one's life. And the last, the 15th being istishar minnatillah alayka, yani being feeling, yani consciousness, awareness of the favors and bounties and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, especially the favor of al-hidayah, guidance, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the people whom He has favored the ability, the success in fulfilling the duties and acting in obedience to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we look at those two topics, we want to quickly look at some of the points that we discussed last week from the study guide, number 8. The first question being mentioned, the 12th and 13th maqsad of Hajj, mentioned by the author. The 12th and 13th of the goals and objectives of Hajj. Now, Mustafa.
Can't say it in Arabic.
Okay, no problem.
The actualization of
brotherhood. Brotherhood, okay.
And cultivating
good character. Naam. As far as the first of those that he mentioned, the actualization of brotherhood, define it a little bit more. Somebody. Naam.
In the deen.
In the deen. Brotherhood that's based on deen. Yani al-ukhuwa deeniyya. Brotherhood that's based upon deen. And the last of them, he said, yani cultivation upon good character, good manners, yani that comes with Islam. And indeed, these are two very, very important affairs that we should be looking at, not just as goals from Hajj, rather, they should be goals in the life of every Muslim. Question number 2, list some of the things which the Hujjaj, the pilgrims, have in common, joining them together in a religious brotherhood. Yani some of the things that the people performing pilgrimage have in common, that join them together in this ukhuwa diniya. Naam. Ahmed. Naam. You gotta speak a little bit louder because I'm barely hearing.
Libasuhum wahid.
Tayyib. Naam. Anything else? Naam. Abu Sa'id. The direction of the Qibla. Same direction that we're praying towards. Naam. Abdul Haq.
Huh?
Their Rabb. Yani their Ma'bud. The one that they're worshipping is the same. Naam. Huh? The Prophet. The Matbu'a. Yani the one that they are following is the same. The same. Naam. Abdul Wasi'. Huh?
Quran.
Naam. One book of revelation. Naam.
The intent.
The intent. The maqsood. The goal. The objective is one. They are there for the same purpose. They have the same purpose. Naam. A'maluhum wahida. Yani that they're all doing the same deeds during Hajj. Everybody is what? Making tawaf, sa'i, going to Muzdalifah, And before that to Arafat, Mina, and so on. Everybody is doing the same deeds. Naam. And so on. And these are, naam. Abu Sa'id, you have something else? Same. They are sharing in their hopes and pains and concerns and worries. They're sharing that with one another because they're what? Feeling the, yani, the brotherhood. Naam. Naam. Something else? Huh? Somebody help me, I can't hear. Tarbiyah? Talbiyah. Now, people reciting the same talbiyah, the same call, the same, yani, words of acknowledgement, of praise, and of glorification, of declaring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being alone in His oneness, deserving worship alone. Naam. The third question, the Arab and non-Arab are united by Islam. Yani, they came together based upon Islam, with no difference between them except taqwa. And he memorized the dalil concerning this from Surah Al-Hujurat, 49:13. Somebody memorize this ayah in Arabic. Naam, Abdurrahman. وجعلناكم شعوبا
وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم حكيم.
نعم ما شاء الله. يعني the ayat يعني which the brother recited يعني from Surah Hujurat 49th Surah 13th ayat in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that which has the meaning of يعني addressing the people, O people, indeed we have created you from a male and a female, from a single male and a female, we've made you in the nations and tribes, that you may know one another. And then the shahid in this ayat is, Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqaakum. And indeed, the most honored of you in front of Allah is the one who has the most taqwa. Indeed, Allah is all-knowing and all-aware. Question number 4, unity of the Muslims. The unity of the Muslims, which removes al-ahwa, yani desires, following desires, enmity and hatred, can only be achieved based upon tawheed and what? Naam, Musa.
And following the messenger.
And following the messenger. When following the messenger. Yani establishing, yani the following of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mutaba'atu rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the following, yani the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that yani has been given to us through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. And following question number 5, similar, muwalat, yani friendship and mu'ada, enmity and hub and bughd, love and hatred should be based upon which foundation? Yani based upon what? Is there, yani allegiance and disallegiance or enmity and hatred based upon what? Naam. Based upon tawheed. Based upon kalimatu tawheed, la ilaha illallah. Yani this is the thing that it should be based upon. This is the most important affair. And this is especially in Hajj, but throughout Islam, in everything, in the Salat, in the Adhan, in everything that we do, we find the Tawheed as the foundation and the first and foremost and most important motivation for all of our deeds. Yani, this is what brings the Muslims together, and this is, yani, what makes the Muslim society one. Question number 6. Mention an ayat of Quran which clearly prohibits acts of indecency, disobedience to Allah, and arguing during Hajj. Yani in Surah Al-Baqarah 197th ayat, Ahmed. Naam. Naam. Somebody tell me, what's the meaning of this ayat? What is the meaning of this ayat that he just recited? Somebody help us. Naam, Abu Bakr. Whoever enters into Hajj, meaning whoever enters the state of Ihram, making obligatory upon themselves the performance of Hajj, yani, then there should be no indecencies, any speech or action, disobedience, fusuq, and no jidal, arguing, disputing, naam, naam. And whoever enters the state of Ihram during the months of Hajj, yani the beginning of the ayah, mentions that the months of Hajj are well known. So whoever enters into the state of Ihram, making obligatory upon themselves the performance of Hajj during those months, then these things should be avoided. These things should be avoided. Question number 7, memorize the hadith yani which begins, whoever performs pilgrimage for Allah and does not engage in acts of indecency and sin, to the end of the hadith, yani reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Who memorized this hadith? Now, Musa. Naam. Okay, who can give us the meaning of this hadith that he just mentioned? Who knows the meaning of it? Naam. Abu Sa'id. Naam. The beginning of it is there in the question, right? Yani whoever performs hajj for the sake of Allah, min hajja lillahi. Yani meaning doing it sincerely, with ikhlas, for the sake of Allah alone. Whoever does that and they don't engage in indecencies and sin and disobedience to Allah, then he said they will return like in the condition that they were in on the day that their mother gave birth to them. Meaning what? What condition is that? In reference to sins, free of sins. Yani free of the consequence of the sins that they have committed in this world. Yani Allah would relieve them from that. Question number 8, discuss the definition of a mu'min and a Muslim as it was given by the Prophet ﷺ during the farewell pilgrimage. When he said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِي يعني shall I not inform you of who or what is a mu'min? Yani what definition did the Prophet ﷺ give on this occasion for the mu'min, and what definition did he give for the Muslim? Naam, Abdul Haq.
Mu'min is one, the people trust with their lives and with their wealth.
Naam, the mu'min is one who the people have trust in him. They trusted him with their lives and their wealth. And how many people can be trusted with your life and your wealth? This is the mu'min, as the Prophet ﷺ gave it in the farewell pilgrimage. And the Muslim, somebody else. Naam, Ahmed. Naam, the Muslim is one who other Muslims are safe from his tongue and his hands. Yani from him speaking ill against them, or from him causing physical harm to them. And the rest of the hadith, which the Shaykh didn't mention, does anybody remember what was the rest of it? Or did we mention it last week? We didn't mention it? Al-Mujahid is the one who jahada nafsahu fi ta'atillah. Yani the Mujahid is the one who strives against his nafs in order to be in obedience to Allah. And the Muhajir is the one who hajara al-khataya wa dhunub. Yani the one who abandons sin and yani disobedience. Naam. And after this, question number 9, discuss the advice given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu and the wisdom behind it. And the wisdom behind it. What was the advice that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to Umar? Naam, Mustafa. Huh? Can you explain it? Explain it. Naam. That you're a strong man. Yani, so don't use his strength to get close, to crowd around the black stone, because what?
Because harming people is
first, because then he will harm the weak. He will harm the weak. Naam. He said after that, somebody help us. What did he say after that? Khalwa. If you found an empty space where you don't have to harm people to get to the black stone, then you can touch it, and otherwise, if you didn't find any opening, then just face it, yani, and say, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. The wisdom behind this, yani, which you were about to give us the wisdom, you want to still give it to us?
It's important that you, that harming people is wrong.
Because harming people is haram. And?
Touching the black stone is sunnah.
And touching the black stone is sunnah. And touching the black stone is sunnah. If you can do it, alhamdulillah. But not at the expense of harming the Muslims, which is haram. And this is a lesson that we could learn in so many other aspects of life. That people should be careful that you don't try to achieve something that is, yani, of a lesser nature, of importance, at the expense of causing a greater harm. And this comes from the principle of what? Of weighing the masali and the mafasid. Yani the benefits and harms of things. We have to weigh them. We can't just do something because it's good, even though the consequence of it may be worse, more evil than the good that we're trying to achieve. And this is a very important principle. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah discussed it in detail in his explanation of Aqidah Wasafiyah. It's worth going back to read that. Naam, after this, question number 10, Hajj cultivates the Muslim upon blank. when one is conscious of the fact that the pilgrims are the waft of Allah, yani the delegation or guest of Allah, then when a person is conscious of that, this, yani during the Hajj, it cultivates the Muslim upon what? Upon what? Naam. Fadl.
Excellent character,
patience, gentleness, good interaction with people. Anybody want to add anything? Naam.
Manners.
Naam.
Kindness.
Gentleness. Naam. And when a person understands during Hajj that the crowds of thousands and millions of people that you are engaged with, that they are the guests of Allah, then this, a person who has iman, will cause that person to restrain themselves and to act yani gently, kindly, patiently with the people and the situations that you're going to be confronted with during the Hajj. And the last question mentioned in the supplication referred to by the author at the end of this maqsad related to good and evil character. Related to good. It's a long yani hadith, a long supplication, and yani from the supplications that the Prophet ﷺ would use as opening supplication at the beginning of the prayer. Naam. Naam, Musa.
Allahu
ahdini, naam, Allahumma ahdini li ahsani al-akhlaq.
La yahdi li ahsaniha illa ant.
Wasrif anni sayyaha.
La yasrifu anni
sayyaha illa ant. Naam. Yani in the long supplication that begins with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anybody know the beginning of this dua? Wajjahtu, وجهت وجهي وجهي للذي فطرني السماوات والأرض وما أنا من المشركين إن الصلاة والنسك ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين. To the end, يعني, or to near the end of the supplication where he mentioned, oh Allah, يعني, guide me to that the best of character. No one guides to the best of character except you, and turn away from me the evil characteristics, yani evil character, and no one turns the evil character away from me except you. And this is very important, yani for us, yani such a supplication, if a person recites it with consciousness and awareness and reflection upon what is being said, inshaAllah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, yani with sincerity, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, yani He will guide us to good character and turn away from us evil character, which is so very important, yani the character of a Muslim. Naam, because yani there's yani the perfection of the worship of Allah, and there's also perfection, yani ihsan, in the treatment and dealing with the creatures of Allah, the human beings and others. Naam. Tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, as we said, we're going to take the last two points that the Shaykh mentioned. And I want to say, yani, just quickly, that I feel, yani, unlike many times in the past, I feel that, yani, somehow we have missed something in what the Shaykh has delivered in this topic. Perhaps due to my own shortcomings. But, so I advise every one of us to look at these points and go into them in further detail. Very, yani, critical matters in the life of a Muslim. The establishment of Tawheed, the increase of Iman, the establishment of the Dhikr of Allah. Yani, these are matters that are very, very important in the life of a Muslim. Taqwa of Allah, yani, good character, the, yani, deepening one's response to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and remembering the hereafter. These are things that are so very, very important. And even though we have passed through them very, very quickly, I'm saying that I feel that perhaps, yani, my own delivery, you know, has something to be desired. Or perhaps whatever it is, yani I just feel that yani we need to go back and look at this topic a little bit more carefully. Point number 14, al-maqsad al-rabi' ashar, the 14th goal or objective of Hajj. And again, yani as we repeat it many, many times, and I'll say it yani tonight for the last time, yani that most of these goals or objectives are not just for the person performing Hajj, rather it's for every Muslim in our life. Yani tahqiq al-wasatiyya, yani the establishment or the achievement, the realization of al-wasatiyya, yani moderation, balance in our practice of this deen and in our daily lives, al-wasatiyya.
And the 15th maqsad is istishar minnatillahi alayka. Yani that a person feels, is conscious of, and aware of the favors and bounties of Allah upon you. And this is something that one should strive for. Because whoever is unconscious of the favors and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will never be thankful. And whoever is not thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they have failed in a great duty. Yani wajib al-shukr. Yani being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His favors upon us is obligatory upon us. So whoever hasn't done so, then they have failed in a great duty that we will be accountable for. May Allah save us from being ungrateful for His innumerable bounties and favors. The Shaykh says, من مقاصد الحج تحقيق الوسطية التي هي زينة هذا الدين وجمال الشريعة. Yani the realization, the establishment of moderation, al-wasatiyya, moderation, balance, justice, fairness, which is the adornment of this deen. And it is the beauty of the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moderation is the adornment of this deen. And if a person wants to adorn themselves with something, then what better thing to adorn themselves with than these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for us? From amongst them is al-wasatiyya. And we know in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also said what? Yani that, O Allah, beautify us with, zinat al-iman, al-iman. Yani the affairs of this deen are the beautification of the human being. Naam. And from amongst the most important of them is al-wasatiyya, moderation. Not going to either extreme. Not exaggerating, transgressing the bounds, exceeding the bounds, or falling short, but rather giving it its full, as the Shaykh says near the end here, yani, it means adhering to, sticking to the sunnah, not going beyond it. Naam. He says, so the deen of Allah is deenun wasatun. It is a moderate way of life. Laysa fi ghulu. It doesn't contain exaggeration, wala jafa, nor yani roughness or harshness or neglect, walaysa fi ifrat, transgressing the bounds or excessiveness, wala tafrit, yani falling short or neglect or laxity. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deenun wasatun, yani moderateness, yani the middle course between excessiveness and exaggeration, and between yani falling short and fulfilling that which is upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Yani the Shaykh quotes here from part of the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 143rd ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ, yani, and likewise, in addition to the guidance that He gave us, He said, وَكَذَلِكَ, just as we have guided you towards the Qibla, that is the Qibla of Ibrahim, changing the Qibla from, yani, Jerusalem to Mecca, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, and we have also made you as a moderate nation. And this has a number of meanings. The most important of them is the best of nations. And what the Shaykh intends here by it, a just nation, yani just witnesses that will yani testify for the prophets against their nations who deny them on Yawmul Qiyamah. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Indeed, and likewise we have made you as a yani أُمَّة وَسَطًا, yani middle, moderate nation. This is addressed to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the ayah goes on to say, لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ, yani on Yawm al-Qiyamah, so that you will be witnesses against the people for their prophets, if they deny that their prophets delivered their message. وَيَكُونُ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا, and the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be a witness, yani against you, or for you, on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Here the Shaykh says, yani the meaning of this ayat is that you will be shuhudan udulan, you will be just, fair, upright, impartial witnesses. Naam. La ghuluun wa la jafa'un. Yani without going beyond the bounds, nor being neglectful or falling short or being indifferent. ولا إفراط ولا تفريط يعني excessiveness, avoiding excessiveness, or the opposite of it, laxity and neglect. And the best of all affairs is يعني that which is the medial or middle or moderate course, يعني which does not involve negligence or laxity, nor does it involve excessiveness or exceeding the bounds. And what is intended, والمراد بقوله سبحانه أمة وسطا, what is intended by the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أمة وسطا, it means he said شهودا عدولا, يعني just fair impartial witnesses, لا يميلون عن الحق, يعني you don't turn away from the truth to exaggeration or transgressing the bounds or to يعني falling short, indifference or whatever. بَلْ يَتَوَسَّتُونَ وَيَعْتَدِلُونَ, but rather you take the middle course and you are balanced يعني moderate, temperate in your approach. So the Hajj is full of مواقف عظيمة والعبرة الجليلة, يعني situations, great situations and noble, lofty lessons which guide one to the importance of التوسط. يعني there are many situations in Hajj and lessons from the Hajj that guide a person towards the importance of being moderate and point to the importance of al-i'tidal, yani balance, being balanced. And from the most important of these situations in this subject, this great subject of Hajj, from the most important of the situations during the Hajj, is that we look to the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ and his sunnah concerning ramyi al-jimar, concerning stoning the pillars, the three stone pillars. Yani taking a look at the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his sunnah concerning the stoning at the jamarat, in light of that which has been confirmed from him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then taking a look after that at the conditions of the people in reference to the sunnah. Yani what is the condition of the people after looking at the sunnah of the Prophet? Now look at the people in reference to that sunnah, where do they fall? فَإِنَّ حَالُهُمْ فِي ذَلِكَ بَيْنَ الْغُلُوِ وَالْجَفَاءِ, yani the condition of the people is between one exaggeration or transgressing the bounds, exceeding the limits, or yani being lax and being unconcerned and having no concern about yani what is required of them at all. It is between ifrat and tafrit, yani going too far, going above and beyond, overdoing it or falling short. إِلَّا مَنْ وَفَّقَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَأَكْرَمُهُمْ بِلُزُومِ سُنَّتِهِ وَمُتَابَعَةَ حَجِّهِ وَاقْتِفَاءِ أَثَرِهِ. Except, and we will find that most of the people are going to one extreme or the other, except those whom Allah has granted success to, and He has honored by adherence to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and following his guidance and taking, yani as an example, following in his footsteps ﷺ. So from this matter of the ramyi, of the jimar, yani the stoning of the pillars, the Shaykh mentions the hadith, which is reported by Al-Bayhaqi in the Sunan, on the authority, and this hadith, yani is also reported by a lot of other collectors of hadith, and Nasai, Ibn Majah, Ibn Hibban, Ibn Khuzaymah, and others. And the hadith was declared by Shaykh Al-Albani in As-Sahiha to be sahih. He said the isnad is sahih, and other scholars also declared it to be sahih. The hadith is narrated on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who said حدثني الفضل ابن عباس, yani his brother Fadl ibn Abbas, yani reported to him, narrated to him, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him on the morning of the day of Nahr, yani on which day is that? Yani Radat Yawm al Nahr. Which day would that be? Huh? The 8th? The tenth, the day of sacrifice, the tenth, the day of Eid, the tenth, on the morning of the day of sacrifice, the day of Eid, He said, give me or collect and gather from the ground for me some small pebbles. So I gathered for him some small pebbles. مِثْلَ حَصَى الْقَذْفِ يعني small pebbles, like the pebbles that a person will hold between these two fingers to throw. يعني you will throw them with your fingers, not a big rock that you have to hold in your hand or in both hands, right? Small pebbles that you hold between these two fingers. He said, so I gave him, I put them in his hand, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, يعني when I put them in his hand, he said, بِأَمْثَالِ هَؤُلَاءِ بِأَمْثَالِ هَؤُلَاءِ. And some of the narrations said he said it three times. Yani with the likeness of these. Yani the stoning should be with small pebbles, the like of these pebbles. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوُ فِي الدِّينِ. And there are two words missing in the book here. Yani you should write it in your book if you have a book. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوُ فِي الدِّينِ. In all the narrations that I found in every book of hadith, it had these two words in the narration, فِي الدِّينِ. Yani that are not written here in the book. Printing mistake. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوَ فِي الدِّينِ فَإِنَّمَا أَحْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ الْغُلُوُ فِي الدِّينِ. He said, with the like of these, the likeness of these small pebbles, and beware of al-ghulu, exaggeration, exceeding the limits, going above and beyond. Yani in terms of what? In terms of the stones that you're going to throw at these pillars. Yani don't, this is, yani picking up a bigger stone than this size, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described this as al-ghulu. This is exaggeration. This is exceeding the limits. And if it is ghulu, just to take a stone bigger than this, if that's ghulu, what about the people who are throwing shoes and sticks and umbrellas? This is insanity. Worse than that, what about the people who have ghulu in their leaders, in their sheikhs, who they bow to and prostrate to and worship? This small thing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described it as ghulu. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوُ فِي الدِّينِ. Don't accept any exaggeration in your deen. Rather, stick closely to the sunnah. You don't go beyond it or fall short of it, but stick to the sunnah. He said, وَإِيَّاكُمْ. This is a warning. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوُ فِي الدِّينِ. فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ الْغُلُوُ فِي الدِّينِ. For indeed, the very thing that destroyed the people who were before you is exaggeration in the deen. إِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ. Yani the Prophet ﷺ is saying that gulu, exaggeration, exceeding the limits, destroyed the people before you. And it will destroy you too. It will destroy you. And Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he said, in commenting on this hadith in more than one place, he said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered this a mas'ala, yani the stoning of the jimar, mas'ala to ramziya. Yani that this stoning is just a symbolic matter. It's symbolic. It is not, as the Shaykh said, what is intended from it is just to the rejection of shaitan. Yani symbolic rejecting shaitan. Symbolic war against shaitan. وَلَيْسَ حَقِيقَةُ يعني يراد بها قتله وإماتته. Yani what is intended here is not the reality of killing shaitan, that you're going to cause the death of shaitan. That's not what is intended here. But if you go to the jamarat, you will see people stoning the pillars as though they're actually causing harm to shaitan. This is not what is intended. And this is ghulu. And ghulu is what destroyed the people before us. And it also destroyed the people of this ummah who fell into it. May Allah save us from al-ghulu. In any affair of this deen. Naam. The Shaykh, he says, so his saying, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith, بِأَمْثَالْ هَؤُلَاءِ, with the likeness of these, yani small pebbles, meaning pebbles which are collected, yani the pebbles which were collected for him, yani which were the size that was specified, that are specified in this hadith, and that is a size, that is the size of a pebble that one throws, yani by holding between these two fingers. And here the Shaykh says that this expression in this hadith, it doesn't include a smaller stone that's smaller than that, nor does it include yani that which is greater, bigger than it. But what is legislated? It is التوسط. Yani, the middle course, moderation. And in spite of the clarity of this affair, وَشِدَّةُ بَيَانِهِ and the extent to which the Prophet ﷺ attempted to make the matter crystal clear, فَإِنَّكَ إِذَا قَارَنْتَ ذَلَكَ بِحَالِ بَعْضُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ جَاهَلُوا سُنَّةِ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم تَجِدُوا مِنْهُمْ أَمْرًا عَجَبًا فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ بين الْغُلُو وَالْجَفَاءِ وَالْإِفْرَاطِ وَالْتَفْرِيدِ والزيادة والتقصير والحق قوام بين ذلك فلا يقصر المسلم عن سنته شأن أهل التفريط والجفاء ولا يزيد عليها شأن أهل الإفراط والغلو إنما يكون وإنما يكون عدلا وسطا. يعني the Shaykh is saying here, even though the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made this matter crystal clear, if you compare يعني what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has legislated for us to use for stoning the Jamarat with the condition of some of the Muslims who are ignorant of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you find an amazing affair in this matter, yani of the stoning of the Jamarat, between those who go so far to exaggeration above and beyond, and those who yani completely fall short being unconcerned, and those who are excessive, and those who are negligent, and those who do extra, and those who fall short, while the haq, that which is correct and right and true, is between these extremes. So the Muslim should not fall short, yani doing less than what is the sunnah, as is the affair of the people of tafrid, the people of negligence and jafa. Nor should he go above, yani yazid, increase upon the sunnah, as is the fair of the people of ifrat and ghulu, the people of excessiveness and exaggeration who go above and beyond, yani who overdo the affair. Rather, what is expected is that it be adalan wasatan, yani that there is balance and moderation. Balance and moderation. And the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوُ, the Shaykh says, is عَامٌ فِي جَمِيعَ أَنْوَاعِ الْغُلُوُ فِي الْإِعْتِقَادَاتِ وَالْأَعْمَالِ. And this is a statement that the Shaykh, he is quoting from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, who said that, in reference to this statement, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوُ, he said, rahimahullah, he said, yani Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, that this, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوُ, beware of exaggeration, this is a general, yani عام, a general rule, فِي جَمِيعًا وَالْغُلُوُ, concern, yani related to all types of exaggeration, whether in اعتقادات, in our beliefs, our creed, or in our أعمال, our acts of worship, yani in whatever field it may be. Yani this ghulu is something that we should be warned against. And here the Shaykh mentions the principle, which is a very important qaida, and it is extremely useful, and we don't have time to go into the details of it, but the Shaykh just mentions it here. Yani that this statement from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Iyakum al-ghulu, yani from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this is general concerning all types of ghulu, whether in i'tiqadat, creed or creedal matters or beliefs, or in acts of worship. That it includes all of this, even though the Prophet ﷺ was talking about throwing pebbles. But this is general in all fields of our religion. He said, because what? Is al-ibratu bi'umum al-lav, la bi-khusus al-sabab. Yani, the ibra, yani the lesson that should be taken, the point, is bi'umum al-lav. Yani, it's from the general meaning of the expression. It's not bi-khusus al-sabab. Yani, it's not limited, especially to the cause of that statement. Yani the cause leading to that statement was throwing pebbles at the Jamarat. But it's not limited to that. Rather, it's general. Yani the general meaning is to be applicable. Yani meaning, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوُ. All types of ghulu. It's general. It's covering everything. So there should be no ghulu in whatever we do. Rather, there should always be moderation. And moderation is in what? In adherence to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Muslim is manhiyun, prohibited from ghulu in all of his situations. And he is mamnu'un, yani prohibited from ghulu in all of his affairs. Rather he is ma'amurun, yani he is commanded to follow the example, follow the traces of the noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to follow his sunnah in all situations or circumstances. The Shaykh then says, and وهذه السورة التي تتضح لنا في هذا المقام بهذا المثال الجلي توضح لنا وسطية الدين في الأمور كلها. يعني this picture, يعني meaning this matter, this example, this description, which is يعني makes clear to us in this particular situation by this clear example. Yani, it makes clear to us what? The wasatiyah, the moderation in the deen, in all of our affairs. Yani, this example that he mentions here of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warning the people against gulu and throwing the stones. Yani, this clear example makes clear to us what is moderation. Yani, that it is important to have moderation in all the affairs of the deen. So the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wasatun bayna al-gulu wal-jafa wal-ifrat wal-tafrit. So the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani it is in the middle, it is the middle course between exaggeration and aversion, between excessiveness and neglect or laxity. So the Muslim should come out from his pilgrimage with a great benefit and a lofty goal achieved that he is cultivated upon during Hajj, and that is أن تكون أعماله دائما وسطا. Yani, what is the benefit that he comes out of the Hajj with? That is, that he make all of his actions always to be moderate. Yani, not transgressing the limits in them, nor, yani, falling short in them. And here the Shaykh, he says, وَالْوَسَطِيَّةُ إِنَّمَا تَكُونُ بِمُوَافَقَةِ السُّنَّةِ. And this is a very important statement here. Yani, the Shaykh is saying that al-wasatiyah, moderation, it will occur, yani it will be achieved بِمُوَافَقَةِ السُنَّةِ, by a person being in agreement with the sunnah. Whoever is in agreement with the sunnah, they will achieve wasatiyah. And whoever goes beyond the sunnah or falls short of the sunnah or goes off to one side or the other from the sunnah, then they will not achieve this great ideal of this great goal of al-wasatiyah. So the Muslim should be warned, ashadd al-hadr, yani take every precaution to be warned against going beyond the sunnah, no matter whether it is in exaggeration or excessiveness, or whether it is, yani, in falling short. Beware of going, yani, outside the bounds of the sunnah, for indeed ash-shaytan is eager, yani, having a total, complete eagerness, yani, to overcome the believing servant of Allah, to turn him away from al-jad, yani, the trodden path, yani, the way that is well known, that is established by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the path that was traveled by his companions radiyallahu anhum ajma'in and the people who came behind them from the generations that followed. Yani, the shaitan is eager to cause the person to get off track and to distance them from the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either by causing them to exceed the limits, to be excessive, or to fall short. Yani, he doesn't care which of these two he achieves. Yani, shaitan, he doesn't care if he gets you to be excessive or to fall short. And this is as some of the salaf, rahimahullah, they said, مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِأَمْرٍ إِلَّا وَلِلشَّيْطَانِ فِيهِ نَزْغَتَانِ إِمَّا إِلَى التَّفْرِيقِ وَالتَّقْصِيرِ وَإِمَّا إِلَى مُجَاوَزَةٍ وَالْغُلُوٍ وَلَا يُبَالِي بِأَيِّهُمَا ظُفِرًا. Yani, the shaitan, yani, some of the salaf said that there's no matter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us with, except that shaitan will have, yani, two attempts to whisper to the human being to cause them, to lead them astray, to misguide them, either by neglect or falling short. He will try to cause them to neglect something that Allah has commanded us with, or to fall short in it, or to transgress, mujawaza wal-gulu, to transgress the limits, to overdo it, yani, to exaggerate in the fair. And shaitan, he doesn't care whichever of these he's able to achieve. Indeed, he is sitting on the pathways waiting for the Muslim, and he never tires from his setting the traps for him, sitting and waiting for the Muslim, exerting his every effort to mislead him, to turn him away from the straight path, from the clear guidance. Yani, if we realize how serious the matter is with Shaitan, that he doesn't waste any effort, he doesn't ever get tired, he doesn't become bored from trying to cause the believing servant of Allah to get off track. That means he's working day and night. Huh? While we are, yani, fil ghafla. Yani, we are just, yani, huh? Absent-minded, unaware, inattentive. We're not paying attention. But Shaitan is paying attention. He's making every effort. If you don't believe it, you will be destroyed. Know for sure that he's trying to get you. And only the one who is aware, yani, who tries hard, seeking refuge in Allah from Shaitan, and trying hard to stick to the sunnah, this is the only one that will be saved by the mercy of Allah in his favor. The Shaykh, he says that indeed an i'tidal, yani having balance and moderation in all affairs, yani التوسط فيها, taking the middle course and distancing oneself from exaggeration and exceeding the limits or falling short, this i'tidal and التوسط, الوسطية, is المنهج القويم, the straight methodology, والصراط المستقيم, and the straight path which it is incumbent upon all of the believers to travel. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us with in His book, and as yani His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded us with in the sunnah. So at-tawassut, yani moderation, yani in truth, real moderation, and i'tidal, balance, it is al-akhd bil-had alladhi haddahu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala li-ibadihi بحيث لا يدخل فيه ما ليس منه ولا يخرج منه ما هو داخل فيه. يعني that this balance, this wasatiyah, this moderate course, it is that a person sticks to the limits that have been defined by Allah for His servants, such that we don't put anything into it that's not that doesn't belong to it, nor do we take anything out from it that is a part of it. And it is with this, yani moderation, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised the believers with. Indeed, the deen of Allah is the middle course between exaggeration or overdoing it and falling short. And the best of the people, they are those, yani, al-wasat, who are in the middle, taking the middle course. Those who have, yani, risen above falling short of those who are neglectful, and who are lax in the duties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are also, they will not be joined with the ghulu, the exaggeration and exceeding the limits of those who transgress all bounds. Rather, they will adhere to the guidance of our Sayyid, our Master, yani the leader of all the messengers, the best, the cream, yani of those chosen by the Rabbil Alameen, the example for the people, all of them, that is Muhammad ibn Abdullah, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. And this is the, yani, the next to the last point, and of course it is indeed of great importance. After that, then inshallah we'll try to quickly take what remains. Yani al-maqsad al-khamis ashara, the 15th goal or objective of Hajj, and the last of them, istishar minnatillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani feeling, being conscious or aware of the favors, the benevolence, the bounties, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. From the goals, the great, magnificent goals and objectives of Hajj, and indeed from the objectives, and there should be an objective for every Muslim in this life, is in Hajj he said, أَنَّ فِي تَرْبِيَةً لِلْمُسْلِمْ عَلَى إِسْتِشْعَارِ مِنَّةِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ بالهداية وتوفيقه له سبحانه وتعالى بأداء الطاعة وأن جعله مسلما وجعله حاجا وجعله ملبيا وجعله ذاكرا شاكرا. And from the great magnificent objectives of Hajj is that in the Hajj is a cultivation, a training for the Muslim to be conscious and aware of the favors of Allah upon him, especially and particularly al-hidayah, that Allah has guided. And secondly, that Allah has given tawfiq, success to that person, to fulfill the acts of obedience that He has commanded us with. And these are two of the greatest bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person should be learning during Hajj. Yani the favor of Allah, what? Of Al-Hidayah. Yani a person becomes aware and conscious that indeed Allah has guided them. How can a person perform the Hajj except that by the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How would you know what to do except that Allah has guided you? Otherwise, a large percentage of the people, I don't want to say most of the people, but I would dare say, could be, most of the people are performing the pilgrimage not according to the sunnah. They have not been guided. So if a person has performed the pilgrimage according to the sunnah, indeed this is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever has performed Hajj, and I was there, and living there for some years, so I saw it year after year after year, a lot of people are performing Hajj openly, doing things that have nothing to do with the sunnah, contrary to the sunnah. That's normal, common, for a large percent of the people. So whoever is conscious and aware of this great favor of Allah, of Hidayah, and then the tawfiq, that Allah gives you the ability after knowing what's right to actually act upon it and to do it. Because not everybody who knows the right way acts upon it. Sure, there are plenty of people who know about sunnah and they don't practice it. And we could give hundreds of examples. Maybe we ourselves have fallen short. May Allah save us from that. That we know the sunnah and we don't do it. And the easiest example of that, yani, and there are many, but I'll just give one as a reminder to myself first. The sunnah of praying 12 rak'ah sunnah in a day and a night. Yani 2 rak'ah before Fajr sunnah, and 4 rak'ah before Dhuhr, and 2 rak'ah after Dhuhr, and 2 rak'ah after Maghrib, and 2 rak'ah after Isha. How many of us know this sunnah? And how many of us practice it? And you can ask ourselves. Don't look at anybody else. Just look at myself. Naam. If a person knows this, how can you not practice it? When the Prophet ﷺ said that a person who prays these 12 rak'ah in a day and a night, Allah would build for them a house in Jannah. And then you don't do it? This is the meaning of what? The person who has been guided to the right way, but he has not been given the tawfiq to act upon it. May Allah save us from this. He said that you have been given this guidance and you have been given the ability to act in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have been made a Muslim and you have been made a pilgrim and a mulabbiyan, yani one who is reciting the tawbiyah, and you have been made one who is dhakiran, shakiran, yani thankful, yani remembering Allah and thankful to Allah. Allahumma anni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Yani this saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have to come back to us again and again and again because of these two things. Oh Allah, help me to be of those who remember you, to remember you, and to be thankful to you and worship you in the best manner. Because the person who doesn't remember Allah will not be thankful. And the person who's not thankful to Allah will never worship Him in the best manner. Al-shukra, al-dhikr wa shukra. Naam. Two tremendous elements. So all of this, all of these things mentioned and more than that are from the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His bounties upon His worshipper. فَلَوْلَا مِنَّةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ بِالْحَجِّ لَمَا حَجَّ. Yani if it wasn't for the favor of Allah upon that person, he would never have performed the Hajj. Yani if you have performed the Hajj, it is the favor of Allah upon you that you actually did it. And if it wasn't for the favor of Allah upon him, then he would not been made of those who perform salat. Yani if it wasn't from the favor of Allah and that Allah made him of the people who pray, he would not have performed salat. Right. Naam. And how many people who are Muslims, yani, at least in name, and they don't pray? Some of them don't pray at all. Some of them, they might pray, but they don't come to the masjid. Some people just come to Jumu'ah. Some people just pray for the Eid. Huh? If it wasn't for the favor of Allah upon you, you wouldn't be praying. Know that that's a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it wasn't for the favor of Allah upon you, then Allah, your breast would not have been expanded to this deen, and you would not have been of the people of this deen, yani of the Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Az-Zumar, 39th Surah, 22nd ayat, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. Yani, so is the one whose heart, whose breast has been opened, expanded, to accept Islam such that he is guided. He is upon a light from his Rabb. Yani he has guidance from his Rabb. What is understood from is that one like the one who Allah didn't expand his breast to accept this Islam? Are they alike? Yani because Allah is the one who expanded the breast. Allah is the one who caused the person to be inclined to accept the truth. to the end of the ayat, which makes it clear that this is the meaning of it. Yani the other people, that Allah warns the punishment for those yani whose hearts are hardened from the remembrance of Allah. Indeed, these people are clearly astray. And there are other ayats that I would refer you to, but for the sake of time, yani please go back and look at the 7th surah, Surah Al-A'raf, 43rd ayat. And the 49th surah, Surah Al-Hajrat, 17th ayat. Both of these ayats are critical ayats in reference to this topic here that we're talking about. And I'll just read one of them, the Surah Al-A'raf, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا. Yani that they will say, the people in paradise, they will say, praise belongs to Allah who has guided us. وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَحْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ. And we would not have been guided if Allah hadn't guided us. Yani they recognize that they would not have been guided if Allah hadn't guided them. And they are praising Allah who has guided us. Because if it wasn't for His guidance, we would not have been guided. We would be like the rest of the people in these streets and all over the world who are lost in darkness, who are astray, except for the favor of Allah upon us. Now, so the Shaykh, he says, the guidance, al-hidayah, it is a bounty and a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives to whom, yani that He gives, yani yu'atihi subhanahu wa ta'ala min yasha. He gives it to whoever He wills. And Allah is the one who possesses a great bounty. He gives it to whoever He wills. So the deeds, the actions of the pilgrimage, and those great symbols of the pilgrimage, the places and the actions during the Hajj, reminds the abd of this affair, that indeed it is the favor of Allah upon you, that you have, yani, performed this Hajj, that you have done these acts of worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This reminds the servant of this affair and makes that person conscious and aware of the divine favor of Allah. Yani the divine gift from Allah. It's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives whoever He wills. It's not like you're entitled to it, you earned it, you worked for it, you bought it. Rather, it is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives whoever He wills. So the person has to praise Allah for this favor. يحمد الله على فضله يحمد الله أن جعله حاجا وأن جعله ملبيا وأن جعله مسلما وأن وفقه لهذه الأعمال وهداه إليها. Yani that a person should be thankful, praising and glorifying Allah that He's made you a pilgrimage, that He made you one reciting the Tawbiyah, that He made you a Muslim, and that He's given you the Tawfiq to perform these actions, that He has guided you to it. So look at the yani context, the text or the context, yeah, of the ayat of Hajj in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 198th ayat, where the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاهٌ أَن تَبْتَغُوا فَضْلًا مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. There is no sin, there is no harm against you for seeking the bounties of your Rabb, yani during the Hajj. فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُم مِّن عَرَفَاتٍ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ. So when you came down from Arafat, meaning leaving Arafat, going to Muzdalifah, then remember Allah at the sacred monument, Al-Mash'ar Al-Haram. وَذْكُرُوهُ كَمَا هَدَاكُمْ وَإِن كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الضَّالِينَ. And remember Allah. Yani praise and glorify Allah. كَمَا هَدَاكُمْ. Yani ka, the scholars of tafsir say the ka here, it doesn't mean like. Rather it means, the meaning of the kaf here is ta'aleel. Yani for this reason. And praise Allah, remember Allah, for the reason that what? Hadakum, that He guided you. Wa in kuntum min qablihi, even though before that, before He guided you, you were from the dhaleen, the people who are astray. So remember Allah, praise and glorify Allah, exalt Allah. For the reason of what? That He has guided you, even though before that, you were of the dhaleen. And the Shaykh says the meaning of this is, remember Allah, mustash'irina minnatahu alaykum bilhidayah. وَإِنْ جَائِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ لَكُمْ مِنَ الضَّلَالِ. Yani remember Allah being conscious and aware, making yourself remember and reflect upon the favor of Allah upon you in guiding you and giving you guidance and in saving you from misguidance. For if it wasn't for the favor of Allah upon you, you would not have been guided. If it wasn't for Allah saving you from misguidance, you would have been of those who are astray. And the saying of Allah also He mentions in Surah Al-Hajj, 22nd Surah, 37th ayat, لَيَّنَالَ اللَّهَ لُهُومَهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. Yani that the meat of the slaughtered animals and the blood of the slaughtered animals will not reach Allah. These things will not reach Allah. وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. But rather what reaches Allah is the taqwa that comes from you. Yani your ikhlas, your ihtisab, your niyyah, yani tayyiba. That a person has a good intention, that they have sincerity, that they have ihtisab, hope, expectation, anticipation of the reward of Allah. This is what reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَذَلِكَ سَخَّرَهَا لَكُمْ لِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And the ayat closes by saying, and likewise, Allah has made subject to you, subjected to you these animals, so that you might, yani, in exchange for that, or in response to that, you might declare the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, magnify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ, yani for the guidance that He has given to you. Yani again, what? The glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being conscious and aware of the fact that He has given you this great gift of Al-Hidayah. وَبَشِّرُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And the scholars of Tafsir give a lot of discussion about these last two words, very, very important. وَبَشِّرُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Yani give glad tidings, good news to the muhsineen, that is the people who exhibit ihsan, excellence and perfection in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ihsan, excellence and perfection in the treatment of the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Good news to the muhsineen. Yani don't imagine that you will do worship very well and you'll be okay even though you mistreat the people. No. Al-ihsan requires that you worship Allah as though you see Him. And if you don't reach that level, then worship Him knowing that He sees you while you're doing that worship. And ihsan also requires that a person treat the people, yani benefit the people with their wealth, with their knowledge, with their position, their status, whatever that they have that can benefit the people. This is ihsan also that is required from the people who are given the bushra, the good news, yani in this ayat. The meaning of the ayat, the shaykh says, yani glorify and exalt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His majesty, that is, muqabalatan li hidayatihi iyyakum, yani in response to His guiding you. Indeed, He is deserving of the most perfect praise and the most lofty, yani praise, exaltation, and the highest ta'zeem. Indeed, from the, and famin maqasid al-hajj, yani so this is from the objectives or goals of Hajj, which it is incumbent upon the person to have in the forefront of their mind, to think about and reflect upon and dwell upon, and don't just let it, yani, be distant. And that is to remember the favors of Allah upon you, especially the hidayah, the guidance during the Hajj and during the Salat and the Siyam and in the whole of the deen. Whatever we are doing in this deen, know that it is the favor of Allah that He has guided us to it. And then the shaykh, and we close, anyway, with the supplication, the shaykh, he says, هَذِي أَحَمُّ وَأَعْظَمَ الْمَقَاسِدُ الْحَاجِ. These are from amongst the most important and greatest of the objectives and goals of the pilgrimage. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to grant all of us the success to have beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. To have beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. And that we achieve these objectives or goals that have been mentioned here. And that He increase upon us, yani basira fi dinihi, that we have insight, yani clarity in the deen, and that He grant us success to do that which He loves and He is pleased with. Not so much what we love and what we are pleased with, but to do what Allah loves and what He is pleased with, yani from correct speech and righteous actions, and that He, yani, grant us well-being or rectification in our deen, which is the thing that protects the whole of our affair. That's the most important matter, our deen. And that He also grant us correctness and rectification in our worldly affairs, yani which contain our livelihood, and likewise in our hereafter, which will determine our destination, our return, yani on Yawm Qiyamah. And that He make this life as an increase for us in every khair. Yani that we live, yani that as long as we live, that it be a means of increase in khair. And that He makes death for us a rest for us from every sharr. Yani that as long as we will increase in khair, let us live. And let us, yani, die, yani, as a relief from sharr. And there's a supplication with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Yani that, yani let me live as long as yani there's good in life and take my life." And some people are afraid to say that, take my life. And if they, and if it's the opposite, but we should supplicate with this supplication, because whoever remains in this world, when they fell into evil and corruption, they're only headed for destruction. Naam, and the Shaykh, he says, "Oh Allah," and we close, "Yani, oh Allah, forgive us and our parents and the Muslim men and Muslim women and the believing men and the believing women, those who are living from amongst them and those who are dead." And let's not forget to pray for those who have passed away ahead of us. Indeed, you Allah, you are the forgiving, the merciful, the most generous, the most kind. O Allah, accept from us, indeed you are the one who hears and who knows. O Allah, forgive us, indeed you are the one who forgives and the most merciful. And accept our repentance, indeed you are the one who accepts repentance, you are most merciful. And the end of our call is that we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and may the salat and salam and blessings and all favors of Allah be upon His servant and His messenger, Nabi Muhammad, wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een.